Good morning. Thankful to be back, and it's a blessing. The roads were good, a little cold, but it's warm in the car, so that's a blessing. I often think of what my parents went through when they talked about, horse and buggy, and that they had to hitch up, and the cold weather. We just are spoiled, I guess. We have it made. I'm going to read this morning from Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22, where Jesus walks on the sea, but Peter does as well. And Peter is an average guy like you and me. And so I'm reading from the New King James, so it might be a little bit different than what you have. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this, your word that you give us, that to give us understanding and how to live life and how to deal with life struggles and life's hardships and the things we go through in this life. It's you have experienced a life on earth among people, and you know every area what we deal with. And so we thank you that we have a God who knows and understands what we deal with day in and day out. We give you thanks. Just bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, whether I should preach this sermon, because I myself deal with anxiety. I think my mother was a chief worrier and anxious a lot of times, but the Word of God always has something to say about that, and we need to continually go back to the Word of God for strength and for encouragement and for help, and knowing that the Lord is with us in the midst of the storm. And sometimes he sends us into the storm. He knows there's going to be a storm. And like he did here with the apostles, the disciples, he sent them off knowing that they would be going into a storm. And I believe as there's two kinds of storms, there's one storm that is for perfection, perfecting our faith, and another storm is for correction, where we brought it on ourselves, but God uses that storm in our life to correct us, to discipline us. And so the storms are nothing new. And Jesus said, "Do not fear. You know, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so it's nothing new that we do have tribulations or storms. It's common. And we can expect it. You know, Tony Evans, I enjoy listening to different pastors, and I heard this illustration, and I'm going to use it from him. And he talked about he took his car in one day to get his oil changed in the car, and he got a call back a little day or that day and said, you know, your tires are really wearing wrong. And we can change them because they're really bad, but he said, we can put new tires on, but that's not going to help. You're going to wear out the new tires the same way if you don't get an alignment. And so he said, our lives are like that. He says, if we're not aligned with God, we're going to wear wrong, and we're going to have a lot more problems and in life if we are not lined up with God. And how do we know if we're lined up with the Lord? It's because of Scripture, reading the Word, and staying in tune and spending time with the Lord. We can know if we are in line with the Lord. And so that's a good example of everyday life, and alignment is vital in the Christian life for alignment with God. So storms will come, and we can either choose fear or faith, or anxiety will come, but it depends on who we focus on. You know, what are we going to focus? Are we going to focus on the problem, the storm, or are we going to focus on Jesus Christ and His Word and His promises to us? He has many promises in His Word. I will never leave you or forsake you. Working in the prison, there is a lot of anxiety for some guys that make that revolving door. They think it's kind of a joke, I guess. But I'm there for those who are really interested in changing their lives. And for some of these guys, that first time in prison, they're very anxious and very emotional. And they maybe think it's the end of their life as they know it. But I inform them this can be the beginning. And you can be a vessel for God's use no matter where you are. And even in prison, God will use you. You maybe made a mistake, but God will take that mistake and turn it around and use it for good if we let Him. And it's the same way for us. If we focus on the problem or if we focus on the solution, it makes all the difference in the world. You know what fear does? It paralyzes a person. Many of the inmates are worried about what they're going to do about a year before they get out. And I have to continually work with them in that area for those who are getting out to make sure that they don't focus on the fear, but they focus on Jesus and surround themselves with other Christians and believers. And for us, it's the same way. Are we going to let the storm paralyze us in fear and doubt God? You know, what did Satan say to Eve? You know, did God really say that? Did He really say don't eat from the tree? You're not going to surely die. And so she ate. But we can get that in the storms of life too. We can start doubting God and say, you know, God, why did you allow this, or why me? Or, but if we turn to the Word and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? Is this a correction, or is this a perfection that you're working in my life? And so Peter, you know, he looked to the Lord, to Jesus, when he was walking on the water. And the disciples were not expecting Jesus to come by. And so it's the same way in our lives. Are we expecting Jesus to show up in the storm of our life? Are we expecting him to do a work in our life at that time and to show up when he seems so distant? We have to see, faith expects God to show up. Faith expects Jesus to do his work in our life and to be with us during the storms of life. You know, we can either face the truth and know that the Lord loves us and cares about us and he will be with us. See, we can start believing lies in fear, or we can start trusting Jesus in the midst of our trials. And Mr. Hurst, I'm sure most people have heard of him. He was a millionaire. He's not alive anymore, but when he has a mansion, had a mansion, he left it behind. He didn't take it with him. So, but he had, it's worth $190 million right now. And but he said, just to prove that money isn't that important, he said, anyone who came to his castle or to his mansion, I should say, they were not to talk about death, because he didn't want to talk about death. It caused fear in him, and so he avoided the subject of death rather than facing it. He avoided it. And so we can avoid the hard things in life, the topics, or we can face it head on and ask the Lord to give us understanding and to take away our fears and doubts. Because fear has a way of keeping us from growing. Warren Wiersbe said, fear always blinds our eyes to Jesus' presence. And so if we're full of fear, we can't acknowledge the presence of God in the storm. And I find that with a lot of inmates as well, they're so worried about what's going on back home and worried about what's going to happen when they get out. And am I going to be able to live this Christian life when I see so many falling back and coming back around? And the problem is, I tell them, is if you focus on the things you don't want to do, you're going to do them. You don't focus on the things you don't want to do, you focus on Jesus. And keep that focus, and I need to do that myself every morning. I need to refocus because it's today's society. There's many concerns in society. We think of all the things that are happening in the news and around the world, and you think of ISIS and what's going to happen to our children, our grandkids, or what's going to happen tomorrow, or will I have enough money till I die? Am I going to be taken care of? There's thousands of things we can worry about, but does worrying help? No. Jesus said in Matthew 6, that it can add one cubit to your height if you worry. And what worry does, it stresses us out. It just gets us to shortens our life, for one thing, because we are constantly focusing on worry. And so I believe it's necessary to constantly fill our mind with the Word of God. He who meditates on the Word shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. So we take the Word as the Word of God and realize that these promises are for us today. It hasn't changed. He's not like a man who says, oh yeah, I said that in the word, but I changed my mind. No, he doesn't change his mind. His word is, when he says he will be with us and he will go before us, he will do that. So how can we live that life of faith? We need to continually spend time in the Word and think of verses like 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and not of timidity. And so these are promises that we can focus on and set our mind on. You know, I like acronyms. Faith is an acronym I'd like to use. F is for faith. A is for adore God. I is for identity. T is for trust. And H is for hope. And these are important to remember. Faith, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is, that's, without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. So how do we get more faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it says in Romans 10. And so we need to focus on the word and what God says. What happened to Peter, and why did he fall into the water, start sinking? He took his eyes off Jesus and the storm. He saw the waves coming up, about ready to cover him, and he started getting fearful. And immediately he started going down, and he said a short prayer, Jesus, save me. You know, I tell the inmates, that's the shortest prayer. You know, if you want to help from the Lord and you're in a bad situation, say, Jesus, save me, help me through this, get me out of this bad situation I'm in. And often many of them will tell me, the Lord saved my life, bringing me back to prison. If I would have stayed out there, they say, I probably wouldn't have been around. And so it's a way of just humbling ourselves and calling out to the Lord for strength and for help. Because realizing that without Him, we can do nothing. We can do some things, but actually it's nothing when we consider that He gives us each breath we take. And without Him, we can do nothing. And especially the things we do for the Lord is going to last for eternity. But the things we do in our own strength are going to just pass away. So God wants us to depend on Him. But the good thing is, even when our faith falters, what did Jesus say? He said to Peter, before he denied him, he says, I'm going to be praying for you. And knowing that Jesus is praying for us, interceding for us, is worth a lot. And knowing that He began a good work in us, will complete it. He's not going to just forget about us. A is for adore. We adore God because He's such an awesome God. And we think about Him leaving heaven for you and me, and then to walk among sinful people and to be beat on and spit on and hung on a cross. But He did this for the joy set before Him. See, Jesus is an awesome example. He did it for the joy that was set before Him. And how can we go through the difficulties of life? We can do it for the joy that is set before us. This isn't all there is. We're just passing through. But there's a joy that we're looking for to meet Jesus someday when we die or He comes back, either one. And so I is for identify. Identify your thoughts. Identify what you're thinking about most of the time. Because what we think about most of the time is what's controlling us. Are we thinking about, am I going to have enough money next month? Am I thinking about what's going to happen to me next month if I'm sick or got cancer? Or are we thinking about God's promises? You know, our thoughts are vital, and I preach that often in the prison, is our thoughts are vital to God because he knows our thoughts. And it says to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, so that we can pull down every stronghold that comes against us. There's many things that come against us in this world, and if we're not careful, some of these strongholds will get a hold in our life, in our thought life. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is something that in our thought life that we think can't be changed. Say we have a loved one that's hasn't come to the Lord yet for 20 years, and we say, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But in faith we pray, Lord, we believe by your word that you will bring that person to the Lord, and they will get saved. And so we pray for them, believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so identify our thoughts is not to, it becomes easier as we fill our mind with the word of God. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind as we change our thoughts and fill our mind with the word of God. T is for trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I recommend to every man there in prison, memorize this verse. And so that we trust, learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not part of our heart, all of our heart, in every area of our life, that when we make decisions, we're going to ask the Lord beforehand, Lord, is this your will? Guide me into this area or that area. I want to do what you want me to do. You know, Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he knows me and understands me, that I am the Lord, exercising righteousness, justice and righteousness and loving kindness in the earth. What is the most important thing in life? That we may know him. That we may know him. That's what God takes pleasure in, that we know him. Hope is the last one. You know, without hope, life seems, you know, is there any reason for hope? Who gives us hope in this life? What are we living for? Who are we living for? Are we living for the Lord, or we have our hope in other things? And I believe the Bible, the Word of God, is full of hope. And that's what brought me to prison ministry in the first place, is knowing that there's hope. Some people think that they have done something, you know, so bad that God can't forgive them. There is no sin. The only sin that God can't forgive is the continual rejection of him as their Savior. And so knowing that gives hope, and understanding that God rules over all. He's sovereign. What does sovereign mean? He rules over all. And if he rules over all, we know we have a loving Heavenly Father. And I heard this once about, as it says in Matthew 6, you know, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, and they're not fearful. And how God takes care of the birds of the air. And this one, a couple robins on the lawn one day, and one robin said to the other one, as they saw the people walking around, said, "Why do you think those people are so frantic?" Well, the other robin said, "It's because they must not have a heavenly Father who watches over them." And birds and animals are attentive to God, and so we must be attentive to the Lord as well. And so Ephesians 2 as well says, at one time you were without hope and without God in this world. So when Christ is in our life, we can have hope. We can have hope in any situation. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I would have lost hope unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so waiting doesn't mean just sitting back and doing nothing. It means waiting and believing that the Lord is in with you and is working things out, because he can take the worst things in our life and turn them for good. He does that often. He takes the worst things and turns them for good. And Philippians 4, 5 and through 9, it talks about how that we should be thankful as we bring our request to God. So we can bring our request to God, but if we're not thankful and we focus on the negative, we can get more depressed over the problems if we're not thankful as we bring our request to God. And then he says, the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4:19 says, you know, he is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And these are promises. He didn't say, I'm going to supply all your greeds. He said, I'm going to supply all your needs. And we got greed sometimes that we think is necessary, but God doesn't think it's necessary in our life. So getting back to Tony Evans and that alignment, how do you and I line up? Are we in alignment with God? Are we in line with God? If we're full of fear and stress, and we need to replace it with faith and spend time with the Lord to give us strength so we can get aligned in every area with the Lord. And is it a battle? Yeah, it's a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war. We're all in a war. And when I tell the men at prison too, when you become a Christian, and some of them will say, it seems like my problems got worse. Well, it does happen that way sometimes, because the evil one wants to try to trip you up and try to, because we're in a war, and it's going to prove whether you're depending on the Lord or you're depending on your own strength. So let's be aligned with the Lord. Let's be in the Word. Let's study to show ourselves to approve the workman that needs not be ashamed, and so that we can be in alignment with the Lord and we do not have to be ashamed, as 1 John says, when the Lord returns or when we meet him. So I'm thankful for his Word, thankful for being able to share this with you this morning, and it's a sermon for myself as well as for you. So I can, it takes practice, it takes staying in the Word, it takes calling on Jesus, even in our thoughts, saying, Jesus, help me, it's powerful. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for what you have done with this congregation and what you're going to do. And I thank you for them and their faith and their love and their desire to follow you and to be blessed, be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks for your word. Fill each one of us with faith as we read your word. Give us understanding and insight that we may know you better, that we may have the desire like Paul had, that we might know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. And we just thank you, Father, for not leaving us alone, but giving us your Holy Spirit to give us strength and to encourage us day in and day out. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.